FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is May 17th, 2016. The trend is not your friend, or certainly the way the trend is being marketed by your favorite actors on Wall Street. They would like you to believe the trend is your friend, but we're getting to the point now, aren't we? And here to talk about it, Danielle Park of JugglingDynamite.com.
Hi, Kerry.
Hey, so Danielle, the trend, I'm looking at your site at a couple of charts that you've got there, and they seem to tell, shall we charitably put it, a somewhat different story than what Wall Street is telling you?
Yes. Well, it's just that every time you get these rally days in the stock market, you see lower volume. And, you know, that's been going on for a couple of years now, but it is, sort of a spike higher, and then it rolls back over and you get a series of lower lows. And that Wilshire 5000 is, you know, really, it's every publicly traded company in America, pretty much, from the NYSE, the NASDAQ, and the Amex. And as you can see there, it's now back below where it was in the fall of 2014. So we're well over 18 months here of making no headway whatsoever, just fits and starts, so to speak, but lower highs each time it rolls over. So it seems to be doing that again. And then the one below is partner Corey's chart of the U.S. 5-year treasury over the 30-year treasury. And it just shows that the yield has been flattening. The whole yield curve has been flattening exactly over the same time frame, really, since the fall of 14, when the whole QE hype really ran its course. And then the yield curve said, yeah, that's nice. We don't see growth. We're going lower. And so those two trends kind of reflect the same story.
Yeah. But this is a totally different story than the hope and dreams, the butterflies and caterpillars and new shoots and flowers and all that good stuff that Wall Street peddles to us.
Absolutely. You know, there was an article in our Globe and Mail on Saturday from the president of the C.D. Howe Institute, and it was remarkably refreshing in its candor, because it was on assuming big returns on pensions, what could go wrong? And his answer was plenty. And he made these really
comments
about how everyone's been factoring in these forecasts or assumptions about returns, not just in retirement plans for individuals, but in pension plans for institutions, and that they're factoring in this expectation of 4% real yields after inflation and after fees to the management team, et cetera. And that is just not the kind of world we're in. And it's not what markets have been able to return in the last couple of years. And it's not what they're likely to return from here. So there's a lot of truth that has to be repriced. And when it does, you know, people are going to have a rude awakening if they've been believing what they've been told, as opposed to watching what makes sense on the price.
Yeah. So interesting thing about that, Danielle, when you look at the cycles, what it's telling you is that lower lows are coming, and that that basically pension funds, all that, institutions, they're paying these grossly inflated management fees to their Wall Street advisors and banks and all that. And does it ever dawn on these people, Danielle, what are you getting from them? What value do they give you? This is like a real scam here.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. I mean, there's a fascinating article. I loved it in Time Magazine's May 23rd edition. And the title of it is "Our Economic Illness Has a Name: Financialization." And this is something that you and I have touched on many times, but basically American capitalism, the quintessential notion of American capitalism, is in the midst of a crisis because a bunch of fraud has permeated the entire structure. So financialization is this academic term created by Wall Street that is supposed to make magic out of things like numbers, to magically fabricate earnings, to magically gloss over too much debt, to turn debts into assets, to make everything, you know, extend and pretend forever. And what ends up happening is it costs greatly over time. It results in speculation and nothing productive. It harms everything productive. And the whole idea of this risky bets, they keep doubling down on more and more risky bets to try and make up for deficits. And, you know, I try and write about this all the time because this theme is not going to work out for people. You know, the answer for the, from the Wall Street crowd has been, oh, we didn't win there or we lost heavily. Don't worry. We'll win the next time. You know, we'll increase your risk and we'll push it out further and we'll hope for the best the next time. And every business cycle that keeps coming up with greater and greater deficits. So this is an illness. It's a cancer to financial safety and stability, and it is going to have to be cut out. And I mean cut out in every sense of the word. Cut out in, you know, another article yesterday about how Goldman Sachs now is the largest trader of natural gas futures, bigger than Exxon.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, well, bigger than Exxon or Chevron, who have an actual business in that medium and have a reason to want to hedge, you know, their prices, et cetera. No, Goldman is just pure speculating. And don't forget, they're a hair-backed bank, so to speak, because they were allowed to merge and get FDIC coverage for their deposits. Now they are taking on all this massive risk and speculation on commodities again, and the taxpayers are back on the hook. So it's just lunacy. They have to sever that from the backing of the government so that they'll be halfway responsible for their own risk management. And let's face it, the society has no interest, no good can come of having unprotected levered betting going on in staples that humanity uses every day to function.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when you were describing Wall Street, what it's become, its function, I'm thinking this is a malignancy. This is uncontrolled cellular growth leading to death of the host, if you will, where the organism, normally a smart parasite, there is such a thing. Like you look in Georgia, in the Carolinas, the trees all have this Spanish moss hanging down from them. And the Spanish moss slowly strangles the tree and kills it. But it takes a very, very long time. And sometimes the Spanish moss will die before it kills off the host. And these guys, they're not very bright parasites because their ultimate long-term well-being depends on a somewhat healthy, accommodating host. But the host here is ready to lynch these guys, basically to kill them all, figuratively speaking, of course. And they're not very bright people when you get down to it, Danielle. They're really not.
I think because they have an insatiable greed, and the insatiable greed is not about balance or health. It's about extracting, even when they extract to the point of death of the host. And that's what we're seeing. I think that's what's behind the political upheaval that you're seeing all over the world, including in, you know, Britain, including in Europe and the United States. And the question is, you know, Peggy Noonan was writing this great piece on the protected and the unprotected class, and John Malden picked up and was writing further on that. But basically, when you have this elite group of people who have their risk looked after by the public purse, backed by the public purse, and everyone else completely without any support or meaningful action because they've been given these meaningless promises while everyone has hollowed out the strength of the system, you know, you've got such an extreme polarity between this protected class who believe they can control all the rules and take all the profits and everybody else who's left increasingly stressed and, you know, with little to make a life with. And so I think there is a breaking point coming here. And I suspect that it'll be, as we started out the conversation talking about the topping pattern in financial markets, the topping pattern will conclude itself in the way that it always does. I cannot tell you how long the topping pattern will persist, but when it does finally give way, it will break to lower lows. It will probably revisit cycle lows like it did in 2002-03 and in 2008-09. And that will knock the facade off once more. It will make everyone have to recognize the horror that this was just this big, you know, pump and dump scheme that we called QE for a few years. And it allowed some people to slip out the back door with a huge amount of funds, and everybody else was left worse off in the end. So I think, you know, the critical importance of price is another article that I was pointing out this week. Is it's very simple. You know, in investing, the bankers like to make it complex because then you lose the point of what you're trying to do, and you know, you're more susceptible to fraud when you can't actually follow the P under the nut.
Yeah.
It's very simple. If you go to purchase something, you should be getting value back when you exchange your capital. And the thing you're getting back when you're talking about investing is future cash flows. And if you're paying such a premium for those future cash flows today, that means that you are going to either get back zero or negative returns over the next 10 to 12 years. And that's essentially where financial assets are today. So the price is the only thing that matters. And we know that intuitively when we're buying things in our life and in other aspects that we're more, you know, that are very sort of every day, we can tell whether an apple's worth $1 or $2, or, you know, we have a sense of where value lies in things that we use. We just lose all sense of it in this, you know, mosh pit we call financial markets because we keep relying on the sellers for the advice about timing. And that's just not something anyone can afford to do. So I just like to say, let this play out, you know, let price mean reversion happen. Try and protect your liquidity, try and protect your livelihood and be ready. And then you won't be one of the victims. And that's, I think, the best we can, if we're not one of the victims, we'll be in the strength position to take advantage things when everyone's liquidating, because that liquidation is coming, Carrie. I can smell it every day. I can see the evidence of it technically, fundamentally, every way that we gauge this, we can see that the liquidation phase is coming. And, you know, the problem with QE is it's been coming, as we've said, for the last at least couple of years. And then, you know, it's a long drawn out affair. But that doesn't mean that they're making any progress. It just means it's a long drawn out affair. And the mean reversion is slowly making progress towards where it needs to go.
Totally agree with you. Danielle, you've summed it up brilliantly, as always. And, you know, we just have to stay tuned, because you're right. You can smell it. You can feel it. And it ain't going to be pretty. And like I quote you regularly about reversion to the mean, but oftentimes it overshoots the mean and it goes below it for a long time, because the mean is just that, an average.
That's so right.
So when you're thinking about these markets, just keep that in mind. And also keep in mind, you should go to jugglingdynamite.com, read Danielle's latest commentaries. A lot of great things posted there. I go there regularly. You should too. And you'll find the link to Danielle's site, as always, on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Danielle, we will talk to you again soon. Be well.
Thanks, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.